Psalm 127 records a Song of Solomon, famous as the builder of Israel's great temple. And Solomon says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Please be seated. Friends, a warm welcome to Foundation Day, especially if you're not usually with us here at Scott's. It's very good to have you here. We have some members of our staff team with us today who we'll be thanking in a little while. We have others you may just be visiting at random today, and you've caught us on a very special day as we look to the past and look to the future as well. You should have got a program on the way, and you'll need it today. There's a lot happening. I'd encourage you to follow the program on the way through so you'll know exactly where we're up to. And where we are up to now is the hymn, "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, Her Lord." Let's stand and sing together. Please be seated. The story of Scott's Church as a building is told in the foundation stone outside the Russell Street door. You can see it on the cover of your order of service, or maybe you can see the screen at the front. The first service was held in a shed down the road by the river in April 1836. Then in a school building here on this site from 1838, and then in 1941 in a church building, which was soon too small in a city that was bursting with Scotsmen. You can read about it in the summary inside the program this morning. Then 150 years ago this year, the foundation stone of this current building was laid, and David Mitchell and his team got to work, and in an amazing 20-month turnaround, built this. Friends, it's great to look back at our history, and we do it with thanksgiving and a sense of celebration. But it is just as important that we look forward, confident and curious as to what our Lord has in store for us. Please join me in prayer. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, we humbly thank you today for your many blessings on past generations of the Scots Church here in this city of Melbourne. We thank you for our faithful forebears, for their generosity and vision in laying a gospel foundation for their children and their children's children. We pray that you would turn our hearts afresh today to our sure and certain foundation, the risen Lord Jesus, as we look to the future with confidence in his name. Amen. Speaking of the future, it's encouraging again. You'd think in this modern day they could invent a microphone that just did what you wanted. It is encouraging that through just the past year we've welcomed quite a number of new faces to our formal membership, which is all the more exciting because if you look at those names in the program, it's a real reflection of the multinational flavour of Scots Church today. We've welcomed the following new members over the past year: Phil Court, Kerry Benfield, Jeanette and Stephen Davies, Carol Harper, Dorothy Lowe, Lauren Rader, Jan Swift, Patricia Comp, Andre Fairbanks, Grace Bailey, Martinez Lube, Anisu Chiodzi, Rhoda Kalitz and Graham Heading, and Bionica Werasina. We warmly welcome all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join and sing again the hymn Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, and enjoy the descant part by our very own Vaughan McCallie. please be seated, and I'll invite you to join with me once again in prayer. Lord God, we are indeed lost in wonder, love, and praise, because you set the foundations of the very universe in place, established the rhythms of every subatomic particle, spoke the mystery of light into being, set that fine balance between the expansion and collapse of all matter everywhere, that you breathed the even greater marvel of life itself into being, and that sense of awareness that allows us to marvel at the creation all around us. Father, we thank you too today for your interruption of our world through the coming into our midst of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer today is that you would fix our hearts on him, that we would trust in him for our salvation, that we would learn from him in humble obedience, that we would serve like him as we care for our city, that we would continue to build our future on him, our rock and our redeemer, as we pray together in the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, there is an astonishing array of people who serve in the life of Scots Church. And I always fear at a time like this, as we try to make thank you lists, there'll always be accidental omissions. But thanks first and foremost to our hard-working Board of Management Secretary, Doug Sherman. Here is a list of some of the people who serve in some of the ways that make a difference. And again, if you're present today, thank you for being here. I would ask you to stand, perhaps maybe in the groups that are listed, so people will see who you are. Just mention Dennis and Margaret Conradi, though their names come up quite often, and if you're a regular here, you'll know they serve in all kinds of ways. They've chosen this week to go on holidays. There you go. Well deserved. But Flemington Mission, Dennis and Margaret, their son Andrew, Joel and Sarisha, Rosemary, who's tireless as chair, and Louise. Just stand where you are, those who are here, yeah, thank you. We do thank you for that. Have a seat. Our sound desk, Emma, who I think is away, Rab, who's our newest recruit, Christy and Douglas. I've got to say, a lot of people, if you'll just stand so people can appreciate you this one time. I would love it if you can fix this microphone by next week. But look, a lot of people have really been appreciating the improvements in sound quality over recent months, and that's not by accident. Thank you for your work. David, as Monty's trainee video operator down here, David, we thank you. We're going to applaud at the end. Thanks, take a seat. The monthly sausage sizzle team, Dennis and Margaret again, Robert and Margaret, Roz, Ian, Wendy, Adam and Louise. Just very quickly, if you can, don't delay. Louise, you too, come on. Yeah. That's our sausage sizzle team. Sunday School, Denise, right up the back, has been serving for many years, and Bawanika is heading into week number two of serving in Sunday School. If we can just stand and give us a wave. Thanks, Denise. Morning tea preparation, Eileen, Dennis and Margaret, their names pop up anytime there's food to be served. Carol and Dorothy, who are so generous in providing in so many ways, thank you to you. Our Bible study group leaders, Sonal and Rosemary, run out to... Come on, Rosemary, again, yeah. Our two midweek morning church groups. Louise with our Thursday Bibles. Just wave, Louise, if you don't want to get a thank you. our Thursday prayer group. Helen and Eileen prepare communion for us every time communion's on. Helen, I think Eileen's right up the back. Caroline works out our rosters. I'm not sure if we saw her today. Yes, up the back there, thank you. The leaflet, our magazine, Rosalie. Where's Rosalie sitting? And Phil Court, and I help with that too, and I'm standing up already. Thank you for all the work on that. Our proofreading team, Elizabeth, is actually with us today and waving. And Michael, our remote proofreader, they proof check almost everything you ever read here at Scott's, and we do value that immensely. Thanks also to our elders and board of management and the members of the Scots Church Property Trust. Just to mention our elders who are with us this morning, Bruce, Sonal, Helen, Robert, Joel, Sol, Doug, and our officers, Rosalie and Rosemary, and our advisor, Phil Court. Thank you so much for your work as elders, and our board of management too. I should especially mention at this point, Siebert Ruddock, our honorary treasurer, who's with us today, Doug Sherman, our secretary, as well again as the sterling work of Rosalie Strother as session clerk and Phil Court as our session advisor. With them, let me tell you, none of this would be possible. And a special mention to Rosemary Feathers, who very invisibly clicks through the slides every Sunday at just the right times, which she's very highly trained for that job. But really, with her other roles as Safe Church Coordinator, Deputy Session Clerk, coordinating the Flemington Mission, she does an immense amount, for which we are very thankful. I think it would be appropriate to applaud for all those people now as a way of saying thank you to them. Now, kids, I'm sorry you're going to be missing the rest of the fun this morning. It's time for you to leave us for kids' church. Parents, a reminder, please pick up your children after the service. Primary in Westpac High School, first floor in the Robert White Hall next door. And over the next few minutes, your offerings will be received as we listen to a trumpet aria. Please enjoy. You can clap. Thanks to Anthony for that. Now, I want to introduce you quickly to another one of the unsung heroes of our team, Monty Chandra, who is the brains behind our live streaming every week. I didn't say good morning to those who are live streaming with us today. As well as the other tech innovations that helped us get through COVID together, Monty has been hard at work on our brand new website, and I've asked him to take just a minute or two to introduce it quickly to us now. Come on up, Monty, and have a word.
Just one word?
One word. I'll give you 20.
Hello, that's the word. So just quickly, if you can see on the screen, we made the website much more easier to navigate, and part of it, one example that I would like to show you is the music events that a lot of people really look forward to every year with Scots. The other section that I would like to show you is the ministry team, which is coming.
No, not yet.
And if you click on the picture, you can read a short profile of our ministry team. Lita, Phil, the always happy Douglas, and the newest member of our Scott City Ministry coordinator, Johnson.
That's
a nice picture. Not me, it's Phil. But
now, yeah. You want people to take a look and give you comments, right?
Yeah, I would encourage everyone to please visit scottschurch.com, see the orange banner, take a look, and give us feedback.
All right. And you can do that by emailing the office, I guess, and it'll come to you.
Yep.
We'll see you on a Sunday.
Thank you.
Not anymore. You can talk to Monty about it later if you have any feedback. But we've trimmed down, we've simplified, and it's very, very nice. And it's been lots and lots of work from Monty. So I think a round of applause in advance. Now, as a church, we are remarkably well served by quite a large staff. And our operations manager, Jonathan North, will say a word of thanks now to support staff.
Good morning. If I can ask those staff members just to come up the front here, briefly. Just while they're coming, I'm joined by my wife this morning. She's come to make me look good, which is not an easy task. It's my privilege this morning to thank our staff, Ken and Rick, and the part-time staff on behalf of Scots Church. They're slowly making their way here. I'll keep going.
Come on, Ken, you can do it.
Most of them are not with us this morning, but I especially want to acknowledge Ken, who's worked here for 38 years and making his way down here. Michael Dunn. He's been here for 20 years and Rick for 14 years. And during that time, we've consistently received positive feedback on their work. If I had one word to describe the way the staff approach the work, their work, that word would be ownership. The staff work hard and take ownership of their roles and ownership of many different activities that happen around the church. Many of the staff often put in extra hours without expecting anything in return. Feedback from both church members and the public is overwhelmingly good. A recent example of staff showing ownership was a venue booking for about 100 people just yesterday. The hall didn't need to be set up until yesterday morning. However, Rick set the hall up on perfectly in advance on Friday morning, and Roel, who's also not here, not knowing that Rick had set the hall up, came in on Friday afternoon in his own time to do the setup. Rick and Roel's application to this task typifies how the staff approach their work at Scots. When I started working at Scots Church, over time, I worked in every role of our current part-time staff, except for the 5 p.m. worship leader, which is probably a relief to a lot of people. Our part-time staff now apply a level of professionalism such that I would now find it difficult to work in many of their roles. Our staff are in a large part responsible for the efficient running of the church, as well as being making it a pleasant and safe place for church members and public alike. On behalf of the church, thank you, Ken, Rick, and all our part-time staff for your hard work and making Scots Church a great place to be. And we'd just like to give you a small gift as a token of our appreciation. So, Ken? Ken is our...
Ken, thank you.
Rick? Michael? Monty? And John somewhere around as well, probably tending to urgent needs.
And
also David, who assists us.
Now, thank you, Jonathan. I need to say a word now, particularly about the office staff. Those of you who have got your card can leave us now. And thank you for coming up. These gentlemen remain, and on the screen you'll see a little picture of Wendy. And I should start with Wendy because she's the friendly voice who so many of you speak to whenever you ring the office. Wendy, likewise, just goes above and beyond the call of duty. And Wendy has chosen to go on holidays this week too, which is a shame. But we are very grateful for her work. I just want to recognise quickly Murray, our finance manager, who probably since you last saw him has upgraded his credentials and is now a certified accountant, CPA, which makes him insufferable in the office. He's so self-important. No, he's a delight to work with, even with his qualification. Monty, I mentioned before, our tech guy, also does our venue bookings and always cheerful and willing. And Jonathan, our operations manager, is just a cheerful, calm presence all the time and keeps everything ticking. And let me tell you, there is a lot to keep ticking in a big operation like Scott's. So to all of you, warm thanks. Now, if you're following the program, you'll see that it comes to those we call the ministry team. And first of all, a thank you to Douglas Lawrence. I'll get you to come over and shake your hand. Douglas, our music director, works tirelessly and produces output of such magnificent quality week by week. We come to almost take it for granted. But on behalf of all of us, thank you very, very much.
I know that's for your service.
Thank you. No, they're in a minute. Lita, what can we say about you? But what a delight you are as our pastoral care coordinator. You work with the pastoral care team, who I should publicly thank too. They work very quietly in the background, getting around and visiting and caring for people, being in touch under the leadership of Robert. We appreciate that team. But Lita, on to you and through you to the pastoral care team, thank you so much for your work. I will mention at this point, Johnson, who's here at 5 p.m. each week. He's a new addition to our ministry team, coordinating our Scott City ministry. And you will get to meet him in due course. But they're doing a great job so far. Phil Cott is going to say a word. Oh, no.
Well, we come to Phil Campbell, the senior minister, and I can't let him sing his own praises.
I wasn't going.
That's the trouble, he wouldn't. And I think his praises need to be sung, both him and Lou. When you think they've nearly been here for 2 years, that will happen next month. And what a act of courage, of straight-out courage it really was to leave nice, warm Brisbane in the middle of Melbourne pandemic and to really just take that literal leap of faith to come down here and take on this massive challenge, really, this massive job of work as a senior minister of this church. I think they've both done exceptionally well. They have really embraced this church. They've embraced the traditional service, which some perhaps thought we were going to get whitewashed walls and, you know, a rock band or something. And they have really embraced this and made it as good as they can. They've embraced Melbourne. And I don't know how many decades it is, some historian will tell me, since the senior minister of this church has actually lived in the parish. But they have embraced Melbourne to that extent that they live right here in the city and they've committed to that. So many changes have occurred in the last 2 years that I can't name them all, but we see it in the screen in front of us. We see it in the electronic screen at the front. We see it in the new website, in the Scott City service, in the children's and family ministry launch, and so many other things. And the coffee cart, of course. And that becomes increasingly popular. So, above all of that, Phil has kept the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ front and central in all his activities, and so has Lou. They have served his church so well, and in relation to that, I think there's something on the communion table for me to give to you. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you for those kind words, and it's chocolate, which is always welcome, and I think it just says Phil. We'll share. And can I say it's been an absolute delight to have been here these last 2 years, and we're excited to be here. So thanks for that, Phil. Douglas has got some music awards to present now. For the live stream people, if you can just hold on.
What do I do with that?
Just hold on. So people on the live stream can hear you as well. Okay. Oh, you're going to speak from there.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome from the choir. And I think we should give the choir a special clap.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Now, the three musketeers standing here, masked without swords. First of all, my friend, my dear friend, Vaughan McCulley. Vaughan joined the choir at Scots in 1988. That's quite a long time. And he has been a great friend of mine. He's a very good, a wonderful composer, an excellent arranger. A pretty good horn and an awful horn player. but Vaughan has contributed as much as is possible, really, for someone to contribute. And we owe him an enormous debt of thanks. Vaughan and Leonie is hiding here.
Oh.
That's Naomi. got married here at Scots in a wonderful ceremony. Not ceremony, by the way, ceremony. It's awful, isn't it? Like actually. Actually got married here, actually. And then within a few years, these two wonderful children came along, Eleanor and Genevieve. Many of you were here when they played the piano about 3 months ago, and you'll be very pleased to know that will happen again quite soon. So we have awards for these wonderful people. First of all, for Vaughan. I'm going to read it.
Oh, you're going to read it?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
With appreciation for your contribution to the Scots Church Choir as an exceptional tenor, composer and arranger. We left the flute and the French horn off, but I would add to that to the church, because Vaughan has been a constant for all these years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who's that? Now, Eleanor joined the choir, I think, about 3 years ago, when she was about the age that her much younger sister is now. This is with appreciation for your commitment and musical progress as a junior member of the Scots Church Choir. And the same wording for Genevieve, who has quite recently popped up there in the middle of all these tall people.
Thank you, Douglas, and now you've got to get over there and organise the choir for the anthem. Thank you. We're going to celebrate our Elders Emeritus in a moment. Just as they come forward, it's been drawn to my attention that we did miss someone from our volunteers list. And what an oversight it was. Our welcome desk roster, those people who greet you each Sunday morning, are rostered and serve very willingly and cheerfully. And so thank you to all of you. Please continue to be cheerful, and I do apologise for that oversight. Jim's coming forward. Charles is with us as well. I'm going to come down to you in a moment. I'll say a few words, then I'll step down so you don't have to step up. Starting with Charles Castle. Charles was inducted as a Scots Church Elder in 1987, and I think only Ray Anstey and Helen Holman can claim longer service as elders at Scots. Over the years, Charles has served in a variety of ways and has been a compassionate pastoral carer of Scots members. I'm told he initiated and led an annual Scots Church art exhibition, which many of you will perhaps remember fondly. Charles himself has a passion for wood carving, and I believe is responsible for the crest at the back. Charles, we do thank you for your long service as an elder. The session is resolved to decree that you are now an Elder Emeritus, which is an honour, and on their behalf, let me present you. That's fabulous. Jim Nusky was treasurer at his previous churches before moving back to Melbourne and becoming a member of Scots in 1992. He's always been a Scots church enthusiast. He also has remarkably good taste in ties. He was elected to the Board of Management in 1993, became our treasurer in 1997, held that position until 2020. Jim was elected to the Scots Church Properties Trust in 1997 and was ordained and inducted as an elder at Scots in 2005. He's been a strong and wise voice in the session and on the board and in general through all that time. Significantly, from my point of view, Jim served on the selection committee and always asked me pressing and perceptive questions that would have made me nervous other than the friendly twinkle in his eye. Through his years at Scots, Jim has been a consistently faithful member and supporter in all aspects of our church life, and enthusiastic about embracing change as we moved forward. So, Jim, with thanks and congratulations, a certificate on behalf of the session for you. You might remain just for a moment as we talk about Ray Anstey. Dorothy Ray Anstey is a Scots Church legend. Former Director of Nursing at Austin Hospital, Ray's influence was recognised when she was appointed a member of the Order of Australia in 1993 for services to nursing. She became a member at Scots in the 1970s and was inducted and ordained as an elder in 1983. And was session clerk from 1995 until 2018. Ray has always been deeply supportive of people at a personal level, especially through illness and crisis. But she was also a very strong and confident leader. She was chair of the Properties Trust from 2003 to 2020 through the very difficult period of legal proceedings around the Westpac building and Assembly Hall. Someone said to me recently, "It's such a shame you didn't know Ray in full flight in her prime. She was formidable." And look, having known Ray just over these last 2 years, I can certainly imagine how formidable she was, because I think she still is. She's served the Lord Jesus with distinction and led and served this church family with confidence and compassion, and for that we give thanks to God. I plan to visit Ray to present her certificate on behalf of the congregation in the session in the next few days, and to congratulate her on her appointment as Elder Emeritus. So let's again show our appreciation to these two and Ray. Lita is now going to lead us in the pastoral prayer.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer and give thanks for God's greatness and faithfulness as we celebrate Foundation Day today. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are our loving, life-giving and redeeming God. We give you thanks for Foundation Day, a reminder of our partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate our past with thanksgiving and rejoice in our present, we also look forward with a willing spirit and optimism to the future. We give thanks for those who continue to serve Christ Jesus and His church to this day. And we as well give thanks to you for our forebears, through whom we first made contact with the living faith, those men and women of vision, foresight, and gospel generosity. Loving God, we pray and give you thanks that as members of your body, your Holy Spirit will knit us together in the bonds of unity and love. Please give us a seal for the mission. Bless, protect your church, and help us that our church continues looking forward and confident in the everlasting and unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ. Loving God, we thank our God for Reverend Phil Campbell as our senior minister, for his leadership and wisdom, along with the love and support of his wife, Louise. Loving God, thank you for leading, directing, and protecting Phil and Louise, their ministry at Scots, and their beloved family. Let the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ be their strength, we pray. Merciful and faithful Savior, the news regarding earthquakes in Turkey and in Syria, the heavy floods in New Zealand and Cyclone Gabriel in New Zealand and in our country incredibly grieves us. Lord God, help your suffering people and us to seek and trust you and repent from our wicked ways. We pray for strength, comfort, and peace for those who have lost their loved ones, where their homes destroyed. We pray for healing for the injured, hope for those in despair, courage and protection for the rescue and recovery teams. We pray for the body of Christ and churches in the affected areas to reach out in compassion and work with humility and unity. May the devastations will lead many to turn to the Lord for salvation. We remember Arshu Danahe, our church choir member. We thank God that her parents in Mersin are saved and unharmed. We continue to pray for hope and miracles for her relatives and friends in her hometown in Hatay, southern Turkey, who are still missing, perhaps still under the rubbles, and facing homelessness. Loving God, have mercy. And now, Lord Jesus Christ, in glad thanksgiving for all your goodness, we dedicate our tithes and offerings. Grant that we may ever work and pray to build a world of peace, joy and freedom through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask for these things and give thanks. Amen. Amen.
We're on page 8 of the program, and if you're following, you might have seen the heading Giving Update and inwardly groaned. But if you take a look at the screen, you'll see there's actually some good news And that is that over the last quarter of last year, congregational giving came in at 28% above budget, which is a huge encouragement and put a huge smile on the faces of Murray at his accounts desk and Siebert as treasurer. And that means after a huge slippery dip of the COVID years, we're back on track and only 8% behind our pre-COVID giving levels, which I think is great going. We're setting some new goals in the year ahead. There's not time today to introduce them in detail, but first up, Session has appointed a new mission support team who through this year will be introducing to you four new mission partners with a focus on Japan, Africa, Spain and Outback Australia. Our goal is to, in a sense, limit our focus to these four and support them financially and prayerfully and consistently. Now, visiting today are Colin and Alison Morrow, who serve with PIM in the Mungo Patrol. They'll be happy to meet you and chat at morning tea. Also, check the event calendar on the back of your booklet or grab a laminated version for your fridge at home and you'll see the dates for our mission awareness lunches. And we'll be inviting you to financially support our budget goal of raising $10,000 per partner in the coming year. Now, the second new initiative is our foundation fund, which will operate closer to home. The Board of Management will be inviting pledges towards support of what we're calling future ministry initiatives, especially with a focus on new generations. This is a fund that's going to be immediately put to work in hands-on ministries, like supporting Johnson Wang, who's stepped into Lauren's role coordinating our Scots City Church at 5 p.m. One more thing to mention this morning, and this is, in a sense, a very recent addition to our goals, and that is you'll be well aware, as Lita just prayed, of the crisis that's unfolding across Turkey and Syria right now. And our own Arzu Danaher is going to say a few words about her homeland. Where has she gone? Sitting right in the back corner. Arzu, thanks for coming. It's been a tough time for you. Come over near the microphone. First of all, if we take a look at the next screen over there, tell us about that town.
So, hello everyone, good morning. I was born in Samanda, the circled area, and Hatay is a region in between Syria and Turkey. It's my hometown, and my parents are living in Mersin. You can see 3 hours
away. So we'll go to Mersin in a moment. We'll just say, if we go to the next slide,
yep.
The impact zone of the earthquake took out a swathe right through there.
Yep. So the impact of this earthquake felt extremely in Hatay. From the last week news and the information that I am receiving from the people that I know, they say Hatay is gone.
I think if we go to the next slide, pictures like that, what do pictures like that make you feel, and what do they make you feel that you'd like to do?
So these pictures and the situation, the reality is inexplicable for me. Because this is the land that I, all my life, tried to go away and build myself for my future. And however, this is my history and a significant part of the Christian history is in this land and it is under the rubble. My people, my culture is under the rubble and I will not feel okay if I don't do something about it.
So let's go to the next slide. Because as we were chatting, we were trying to think of some little practical things we can do. And just if I can say a word to the whole church, it's actually very difficult to feel you can do anything in a situation like this. It seems so far away, the problems are so big, and yet because we have Azu here and her family there, it is possible for us to help get some funds directly to the situation and start helping in some small ways. So just tell us some of those things you think we can do.
So Marcin was affected from the earthquake, but there were no buildings collapsed. So they are standing up and they are helping. Lots of people from Hatay, they are heading towards the west. And Marcin's church, Rum Orthodox Church, which is my parents and myself belong to as well, opened their doors. They booked 150 hotel rooms for people who are devastated and lost everything that they had. And also they opened the church. They converted the church completely to a sleeping area and for help. The urgent current need is all hygiene, clothes, food, and sleeping shelter. The need will be bigger later. For now, all the help that I want to send to the church in Marcin, because they receive all the need and the people are directly contacting them.
Okay, so if we go to the next slide. What we're planning to do is partner in what's at the start a small project in a sense, and that's to provide real and tangible help on the ground by contributing through Azu to the church over there that she's in touch with. She has contacts there,
yes.
She has account details there, ways and means to get our contributions there to start helping in these really tangible small ways. Now, if we go to the next slide, the needs are going to be long-lasting, but this is a start, and our input will be directly through your contacts. And on the next slide, Azu is planning a concert to raise funds over the next few months. We're hoping that'll be hosted here at Scott's. We're hoping it'll be huge and terrific, and that'll be another great way of helping. But for now, just for this small start, we're inviting you to contribute directly through Scott's, through Azu. There are some Perspex boxes that we've got here this morning at either door. We can start with those. They'll be here again next week. Or you can make direct contribution online, just specify the Turkish appeal or something that makes clear where you're heading the money to. The account details are usually on the order of service, but not this week because of the special service and we didn't have time. But you can contact the office by email or by phone, and let's start the ball rolling and let's see if we can make a difference through you.
Thank you so much.
Our hearts are with you, and particularly
Thank
your
you
loved
so
ones
much.
Over there.
Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
Thank you. We're going to have the choral psalm.
Yeah. The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through to 14. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partners together with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarah. I always feel a bit edgy when we run over the hour because my dear old dad was a very faithful Presbyterian type, and any time church ran over time, he'd come home very grumpy afterwards. So I do apologise to you. There's with a lot to do this morning, and I'm going to be very brief in my comments in the next few minutes. Please join me in prayer, and then we'll have a brief look at that passage together. Our Lord God, we do thank you for your word, and we pray in this day of so many other things to think about that you would help us to pay attention now to these important words before us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Harry Potter has by now fully taken the world by storm to the point where even the musical has nearly run out of steam. Harry Potter started off with a single book that Lou's sister brought from Vancouver where she lived before Harry was even a big thing anywhere. Our kids read it avidly, and after that, all of them. I got bogged down in the very long Quidditch tournament in book three. If you've read any of the books or seen any of the movies, you'll be aware, no doubt, of the bad guy, Voldemort, who apparently is correctly pronounced with a silent T at the end. Although, of course, it's hard to know because Voldemort is so feared in the wizarding world that it's considered dangerous even to speak his name. Most characters in the novels refer to him as you know who, or he who must not be named, rather than say his name out loud. Interestingly, at completely the other end of the spectrum of good and evil, it seems that for many Christians, the same applies to the name of Jesus Christ. Not talking about it as a swear word, though oddly, that's how you're most likely to hear his name spoken. I'm talking about as the founder and hero and leader of our movement. And the fact that so many churches these days seem to want to brush him under the carpet and talk about almost anything else. But this is, after all, Foundation Day, and he is, after all, the founder of the movement that bears his name. I had a beaut young couple come to ask me once about christening their bub. I said, "Tell me, why do you want little Matthew christened?" And Christine said, "Oh, my grandma says we should." I said, "And tell me, what do you actually think Christianity is actually all about?" And Terry says, "Well, being good and doing your best to keep the Ten Commandments." To which I said, "Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that it's actually called Christianity after Jesus Christ. You haven't mentioned him at all. Do you reckon he has anything to do with it?" The fact is, friends, he's got everything to do with it. Now, we're focusing briefly on these opening words of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi today. In another letter to the Corinthian church, he says this: "For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Not just founder, but foundation on which everything else is built. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he slightly changes metaphors. He says to them, "You're all members of the household of God," which is, he says, like a temple built on the foundation of the message about Jesus from the apostles and the prophets. So he says, in that case, "You're all built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure built, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." So he's the main block. Those other guys, apostles and prophets, did the groundwork. So while we might rightly admire our astonishing building today, while we might meditate a moment on the foundation stone outside the Russell Street doors, those names and dates aren't really our foundation. Jesus Christ is. And the apostolic message they called the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that the apostles preached relentlessly and courageously, no matter the consequences. That this Jesus of Nazareth, executed by the power of Rome for his rival claims of kingship, because Roman rule would brook no rival, this Jesus of Nazareth refused to stay dead. And so, this is their claim, was living and active and ruling as king even now, with a claim on every person in every place in every time. Which is why you'll notice then in our passage that his name is never far from the Apostle Paul's lips. His opening words, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, subjects of that risen king. To all the saints in Christ Jesus," he says, "who are in Philippi with the overseers and deacons." The people he's writing to, the Philippians, saints literally means holy people, God's people, not in the stained glass sense or the Roman Catholic sense, but ordinary people who are struggling along following Jesus in Philippi. Again in verse 2, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." My point being simply that far from being one who shouldn't be named, the name of Jesus comes up in verse after verse after verse. Verse 6, he speaks about the day of Jesus Christ, a term he uses again in verse 10, by which he means the final day when everything's wrapped up. And the question will be, who is standing with Jesus? The day when he says they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Paul says he's constantly thinking about these these Jesus followers in Philippi, wishing he could be with them with all the affection, he says, of Christ Jesus in his heart. Just to finish off the picture, you'll notice from the passage he's writing to them from a prison cell where he is in prison for no other reason than he is relentless in his enthusiasm to tell people about, you guessed it, Jesus Christ. And he says, it's a good thing I'm here because look at all the publicity around the imperial palace. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it's become known through the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Everything for the Apostle Paul is all about Jesus, founder, foundation, cornerstone, king. He is a servant of Jesus. They're the saints of Jesus. They have the peace of Jesus. He longs for them with the affection of Jesus because on the last day, which is the day of Jesus, they'll have the righteousness that comes from Jesus. And they'll stand tall and unashamed because Jesus will have completed the work that he's already begun in them. It's all good, chains or not. Now that brings us back to the main point of these opening verses in the letter. The main point being, to my mind, where Paul talks about the partnership that he has enjoyed with these Christians in Philippi. The original Greek word he uses is the word koinonia, which is where, among other things, we get the idea behind our word coin, which ties back to the concept of something we hold with a value in common. All kinds of other English words flow from that root idea that centre around the idea of what we hold in common value, like community, like commonwealth. Things that are perhaps easily lost and eroded and revert back to tribalism or individualism or every man for himself. Koinonia is sometimes translated as fellowship, but here in verse 5, in more contemporary language, a very good English word is that word partnership. Because it is fundamentally a business word that talks about a common enterprise, a common purpose, a common goal. It's a business word that talks about a joint venture and joint costs and joint risk. At which point you see Paul's first readers are not somehow the consumers of Paul's product. They're not his customers or his clients, but they're standing with him in the enterprise of proclaiming Jesus Christ. So look again at his words from verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. It's a long sentence. But this is the key. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. A thankfulness that stems from the fact that Paul's confident he's not in the business on his own. Same word again in verse 7, amplified in the original with a little extra prefix that makes it literally together partners, co-partners, doubles the force. It is right for me to think this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all co-partners together with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. If he's living under God's grace, they're living the same. If he's chained up in prison, they are risking the same as they send their support. If he is defending and confirming the gospel, they're doing the same. If he's taking every opportunity to speak fearlessly, they're doing the same. Not as customers or consumers, but as partners and a team. Partners in taking every opportunity to say to people, it is all about Jesus. If you want to know what we're about, if you want to know our foundation, it's not about a grand old building. It's not about great men of Melbourne's past like Joe Reed or David Mitchell or Jim Forbes. It is about our real and ongoing loyalty to Jesus as Lord and King. So friends, we're not here as an audience. Scots is a centre of exceptional music. We're not here for the sake of Handel or Besto or Bach, but in a sense to join our voices to theirs in singing praises to our Lord and King. You've heard this morning about all kinds of ways people are partners in the gospel here at Scots, serving at the mission in the name of Jesus, caring for one another in the name of Jesus, partnering across the world with brothers and sisters suffering in the Turkish earthquake in the name of Jesus, partnering in mission more locally through our support strategy, or just encouraging one another to keep going just another day trusting Jesus. I was talking to a friend of mine on Tuesday. He's a younger minister who's been working in a tough church. Where he said, one of the older members said to him once, I'm sick of you preaching about Jesus all the time. See, he is, in some circles, the one who shouldn't be named. Too particular, perhaps. We prefer our religion more generic, less specific. We'll talk about God in the abstract, or about spirituality, maybe, because we like that. We're all spiritual. So talk about vague spirituality rather than Jesus in the concrete. Friends, if we do that, the bad news is we're chipping away at the foundation from under our feet. We're removing our bedrock. And so on this Foundation Day, I simply want to say to you, friends, Christ is made our sure foundation, and let's keep it that way as we sing our final hymn together, which reminds us of exactly that. Let's join in song.
Thank you.
friends, do please stay and join us at the Jester's Garden just behind me in the Westpac foyer. Say hi to Tony and the team. They're waiting for us there. So immediately after the postlude, which is going to be terrific, head over as quickly as you can and spread the crowd a little. Start drinking coffees. It's all complimentary this morning, prepaid. So please stay and take advantage of that. Do also grab a calendar for your fridge. There'll be one at the door. And we'll make sure one of the donation boxes comes over to morning tea so you can contribute to the turkey appeal over there, if that's easier. Now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forevermore. Amen.